Praise the Lord. I'm glad for that this morning, aren't you? Praise the Lord. If you turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 8, and we're on a communion Sunday. We're going to continue in the book of Romans, and I appreciate the encouragement that Paul gives us. By the way, it's good to see everyone this morning. I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of God and your being here. Even on this holiday Sunday, you're here, and God is here, and eternal things can be accomplished. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Could you stand for the reading of God's word, Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28. We're just going to read one verse this morning. And here's the thing. This verse merits a whole sermon because this verse is so crucial to the reconciling of our faith to how rough life gets sometimes. Amen. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's so short, I believe we could all read that together. Could we read that together? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I want to preach this morning on how bad things turn out good. How bad things turn out good. I want to tell you this morning before we pray, if you have heeded God's call, if you have heeded God's call, whatever comes your way, regardless of how bad it is, it'll only work to the fulfilling of that great plan to which He has called you. Hallelujah. I said, if you're called of God, whatever comes your way, however bad it may be, it'll only work to the furthering of the great plan to which God has called you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's in control. Somebody is in control. As we pray over the sermon this morning, let's pray for Sister Barb O'Hare. She had a stroke late last evening, and the tests weren't all in. And we want to remember her in prayer. Also, remember Mark Putterball. He had serious surgery this week, and things have not gone well as late as Friday. He was dealing with the blood clot and hemorrhaging. And let's remember them in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now, Lord, for Sister O'Hare, God, that You would lay Your hand upon her and reverse, oh God, the effects of this stroke. Lord, let her know right now that she's been touched by the Master. Lord, we pray for Mark. Lord, You lay Your hand upon him and heal him and touch him. Lord, this would be a turning point, oh God, in his recovery right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Your anointing. God, the next few moments, shut up our mind to the truth and help us, Lord, have victory in this service. Help us to have Your presence in the communion. May Jesus be glorified. Shut out every distraction. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. How bad things turn out good. I was talking to a dear person of this church who suffered great loss and grief. And this person said to me, Pastor, tell me that God has a plan through all of this. I know that He does, but I need to hear it again, that God has a plan. I think we're all like that. There's all kinds of setbacks and reverses, losses of job. There's sickness, there's betrayal, there's pain, there's suffering, there's trials, there's failures in our life. But I think we need to know all over again, there is a plan. Hallelujah. I said there is a plan. You say, well, Pastor, there's bad things happening in my life. But there is a plan God's got for good. I want us to look at this verse and notice some things. First of all, there's a need to know. There is a need to know. The verse says, and we know. Aren't you glad we do know? What if we face these bad things and these trials and we didn't know what we know? Brother Wilson, you've had some rough things just recently. But what if you didn't know what you know? We know that all things work together for good. This is something we must know. However bad things get, this is the hope that keeps us going. And this is the promise that keeps our hope going, that all things work together for good. We do know this. You may not know a lot of things, but if you know this, you're going to make it. Hallelujah. I want to approach that a little differently. I want to ask the question, how do we know this? That's what Paul said. He said, we know that all things work together. How do we know that all things work together? For we know, first of all, because of the record of scriptures. Read the book. Bad things happen to God's people. But don't stop in the middle of the story. Because by the time the story's finished, the record shows that God took the bad and He caused good to happen. Hallelujah. How many believes the record of the scriptures? That's how we know, Brother Lee. I was reading this week again when God first told Moses and Aaron to go before Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. They first visited the Israelites and said, we know you're slaves. We know the labor's rough. We know the taskmaster is ornery and mean, but we're going to go to Pharaoh. He's going to let you go. Moses and Aaron stomped into the court there, walked in and said, Pharaoh, the Lord says, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Never should have asked that question. I haven't preached it yet, but I've been threatening to preach a sermon. Questions people shouldn't have asked in the Bible. Who is this Lord that I should obey Him? But then listen to what Pharaoh said. You've got too much time on your hands. You're supposed to be building my pyramids. Even if you've got time to go and worship God, you've got too much time on your hands. And he called him the Egyptian overseers. And he said, you make those Israelites turn out the same daily quota of bricks. Make the same number of bricks, but quit supplying them with the necessary ingredients, the straw. But demand they've got to pick their own straw and make the same number of bricks. The Egyptian overseers went out and began to beat the Israelite leaders and say, you're not coming up with the quota. We've got to pick straw. I'm sorry. You've got to have the quote of the Israelite leaders are being beaten. They came to Moses and Aaron and said, I thought we were leaving this place. I thought God was delivering us. But ever since you showed up, ever since you started preaching, ever since we've started believing that deliverance stuff, things haven't gotten better. They've gotten worse. We're getting more whippings with the whip. Amen. The boss is meaner. Things have gotten worse. Amen. It wasn't just the Israelite leaders, Brother Wilson. Moses and Aaron went to the Lord and said, Lord, I thought you were going to deliver us, but look what's happening. The people are being severely ill-treated. Things haven't got better. They've got worse. If you stop there, the people have a reason to complain. And yes, they're right. Things got worse, but it was all part of a plan that God had. And God said, listen, Moses, yes, some bad things are happening, but you remember something, Moses. By the time I get through, my people will leave Egypt. Things will be good. I'm telling you, on that night when the Israelites packed up and left the land of bondage forever, all the bad things have been forgotten. It was bad then, but God had a plan. Hallelujah. We know from the record of Scripture. We know for the recountings of the saints. Listen to the testimonies of the saints. I'm talking about people we know. People that have served God for 60 years and more. Brother Rose, just listen to their testimonies. Amen. Young people, you need to hear it. I know you got rough times, but listen to the testimonies of the saints. If they're truthful, they'll say we've had bad times. Amen. It's got rough a few times, but before their testimony is over, they'll say, but he's never failed me yet. And I can look back and see that he was with me every step. And I can look back and see the hand of God at work. And I am where I am. And I have what I have. Because even when it was bad, God was at work in my life. Even we know from the record of Scripture, the recounting of the saints, we know from the resurrection of the
Savior. I'm telling you, read the life of Christ. Things got as bad as they could get. Even his friends turned against him. The soldiers came and got him. They beat him. They ill-treated him. I'm telling you, even the demons collected on that day. An onslaught against Christ on the cross. Things couldn't get any worse. Amen. They abused him. He was bleeding. He was tortured. And he died. Things couldn't get any worse than that. Oh, you say, did God have a plan? Yes, sir. Amen. They're putting him in the grave. Does God have a plan? Yes, sir. They're rolling the stone across the mouth of that grave. Does God have a plan? Yes, sir. Things are as bad as they can get. But 3 days later, he rose again. And every bad thing he suffered was something that has turned to victory and to our good. We have the resurrection of the Savior. Amen. And then we have the reassurance of the Spirit. That's how we know. Things can be really bad in our life, but then the Holy Spirit moves upon our hearts. I want to ask you something. I really reflected on this. But have you ever had the Holy Spirit really move on your life where when he was finished moving, no matter how bad things were, when the Holy Spirit got finished moving and you got up, no matter what you were facing, somehow you knew it was going to be all right. Isn't that true? How many would testify that every time the Holy Spirit has really moved, it didn't matter how bad things were, if the Spirit could move on you, it's going to be all right. I'm telling you, there's the reassurance. That's how we know the Spirit comes and reminds us God has a plan. Amen. That's the need to know. And then in the verse, I want you to look at the way it works. All things work. I want us to focus first of all on the all things. All things. That means everything. Every trial, every persecution, every trouble, every sickness, every pain. I had a pastor friend of mine that I grew up with, got the worst case of shingles I ever known anybody, as a young man, anybody to ever had. I mean, over his whole body. It wasn't just a bilateral thing, this over his whole body. Couldn't get out of bed. But as he was lying there, God began to speak to him. And when he could possibly do so, he got behind his pulpit and preached a sermon on satisfied with sickness. One of the greatest sermons I've ever heard. Satisfied with sickness. And what he was saying, sickness is one of those things that we suffer. But all things, nothing is excluded. Nothing is left out. Whatever you name, whatever you fill the blank in with what you're going through, all things work together for good. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad he said all things? If he said some things, your thing, you're going through, would have been left out. But he said all things. I don't know what you're filling the blank in with this morning, but I can tell you it's all things work together for good to them that love God. Then I want you to notice the word work, the way it works. There is a working. There is a working. People don't give things time. They take the first dose of medicine from the doctor and said it didn't do any good. Call the doctor up. Give it time to work. Amen. You start exercising. You exercise one day for 20 minutes and said, I'm no stronger, no better health. Give it time to work. Give it time to work. Hallelujah. Amen. You do the right things in your home. You do the right things at work. You say the right things as a Christian should, and things are getting worse. Give it time to work. When Andrew was really small, we were encouraging him to eat his vegetables. We said, if you eat your vegetables, you'll grow. We have an edge of the wall, one of the door facings over there. We've marked all the heights. We've kept a record of the kids as they've grown. And he got through eating those vegetables that morning, and he ran to the wall, and he stood up against it, said, Dad, measure me. I said, what for? He said, I want to see how much I've grown since I ate my vegetables. Amen. You know, somebody didn't have time to work yet. You're saying the Bible says everything works for good, but things are still bad. It takes time for it to work. There is a working. Hallelujah. How do all things work for the good? What is the way it works? Is it coincidence? Is it just coincidence that everything comes out all right? Does it just work that way? No. Listen to me, church. When it says all things work together for good, it is implied that it is God that does the working. Hallelujah. I said it's God that does the working. It isn't by chance. How some people say, well, things just have a way of working themselves out. Have you heard that? Things just have a way of working themselves out. As a Christian, as a believer in the Word, I beg to differ. For the Christians, things don't just work themselves out. But for the Christian, God works him out. If you'll work with God, He'll work in you and through you, and He'll work things out.
I wrote a little bit about it in the bulletin, but this week in the news, the great physicist Stephen Hawking said there's no longer any need for God in the creation of the universe. The universe just created itself. You can read what I said in the bulletin, how irrational that is. He said, because there's gravity, then the universe just created itself. Which is me, is a contradiction there. He said, because there's gravity, it created itself. But in other words, he's still admitting something was at work. He's still saying there was grass. He's trying to get rid of anything working, but he still said something was at work. I'm telling you, things don't just work themselves out. There is a God that will work them. The psalmist said in Psalm 138, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Did you hear that? Listen to me. If you're in trouble, you need to hear it this morning. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many can lift a hand this morning and say you're saved, that God has begun a work in you? Let me see your hand. God's begun. You've got the promise of God. Things may get rough. There may be things you don't understand, but He has promised that if He has begun the work, He's going to continue the work. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Hallelujah. He didn't teach you to swim to watch you drown. He didn't build His home in you just to move away. He's begun the work. He said, work this morning. He's going to keep on working until that day. He works it. And then the scripture says things work together for good. People have misread this. The scripture never says all things are good. It says they work together for good. I started to do this, but I'm afraid I'd poison somebody. I don't know everything. I don't bake. I'm too smart to learn. You start learning that stuff, you'll be doing it. But I have an idea. At least some recipes for cookies call for baking powder. Am I right? And I started to do this. What if I had a can of baking powder and just got a big old spoonful of baking powder and said, here, Brother Ben. And he got that and he said, well, that tastes good, you think? Even flour. How would you like just a big old mouthful of flour? But you get the peanut butter and the baking powder and the flour and the butter, and you mix them all together, and when it comes out of the oven, it's good. Oh, come on, church. How many can envision that right now? A hot peanut butter cookie. That's enticing. But a mouth of baking powder isn't. And there are things in our lives, Sister Penny, that taste like baking powder when we're going through them. But we have the promise that He puts it all together. And you got a peanut butter cookie coming. Aren't you glad all things work together?
All things are not good, but all things work together for good. I read this week again the story of Joseph. His brother spoke ugly and lying words. His brother threw him in a pit. They sold him as a slave. He was falsely accused of adultery. He was imprisoned unjustly, and then he was forgotten and left to rot. Not a one of those things are good, but every one of those things led Joseph closer to the throne of Egypt, that God was going to put him on, not only to save his life, but his whole family. I'm telling you, Joseph had a lot of baking powder. There was a lot of bad things in his life, but the whole time, God was working them together for good. Hallelujah. It isn't just that things are turned into good. Amen. It is that those things all together, they bring us to good. They work towards our good. Amen. One time a man said, could you imagine the accident and a pair of socks changed my life? The man said, how's that? He said, I had, this was years ago here in Ohio, I had a trip planned down the canal. We was going to take a canal trip in a boat, me and my young friends. But right before we went, the day before we went, I was chopping wood and I cut my foot. It wasn't a big cut, it was just a small one. I cleaned it up, but I put on the homemade socks that mama just dyed, and they had a lot of blue dye in them. If you know something, if you got a cut, even they tell you to wear white socks because that dye will infect and irritate. He said, I put those socks on, and the next morning my foot was so swollen I couldn't go on the trip. I sent my friends on down the canal, and there I was laid up in home while they were having fun. But he said a preacher happened to come to town that same day, and because I didn't have anything else to do, I hobbled down to the church, the revival meeting, and I got saved. And when I got saved, I said, I want to spend my life for God. What's a good way to spend my life, God? And God led me into education, and now I am where I am today. And where was he? He was president of the United States, James Garfield. He said, just that little cut and that infection, and I was all upset because I had to let my friends go without me. But he said, look where it led. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing. He's at work. He's at work. And he works all things to good. And then I want to talk about the good that is gotten. What is the good? All things work together for good. For good. You know, this is the problem why people get disappointed with God. They don't understand what good is. We're living in a time when the gospel has been reduced in many places to God will make you healthy, wealthy, wise, and he'll give you lots of money and a good job. And I'm not discounting that God is concerned about all of our life, and he works in all those areas. I just pulled it up the other day. One of those men has written a book that simply says, at least he's truthful, he said, God wants you rich. God wants you rich. Amen. What is the good? Lots of money? You think lots of money's good? Ask the lottery winner. Lots of money, pleasure, popularity, health, wealth. No, if you take an honest look at Scripture, good is my spiritual well-being. Good is what is good for me. Good is what causes me to become like Christ. Good is a pure heart and a pure mind. Good is faith in God. Good is hope come alive. Ask a child what is good. He'll say, eating all the candy I want to eat and staying up as late as I want to stay up. Oh, what is good? The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I used to marvel at this, but the psalmist went on to say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. That's what he said. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He said, what's good? He said, I learned God's way, that I walk in God's way. And if it takes affliction, that's good for me. Listen, let's leave the good to God. God knows what's good for me more than I know myself. Since when has it not been enough that God saves us and delivers us and provides us a home in heaven. Since when has good and serving God only been good if we're being blessed with material and temporal things? I'm telling you what the good is. It's we make it to heaven. He's working all things. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was at that high security prison, Pelican Bay, Brother Leitner there in California. Took a long time to even get in there. FBI checks and everything. High security. Went in there, got in that service. And those men got to testify, and I'd never heard a testimony service like that. One of them would stand up and said, I'm so thankful I got arrested and sentenced to life in prison, because it was here I found Jesus Christ. Whew, that's a tough testimony. I heard him say there, if I was still on the streets, I'd still be living that life. They brought in one of those oblong watering troughs for livestock. We're having a baptism service. The warden let them have a baptism service that night. And they got up, had a choir. They made a choir and sang. Oh, it was a beautiful song about deliverance. And the preacher I was with leaned over and said, that convict over there, he wrote that especially for his baptism. I'm telling you, good is to be saved. Good is to be born again. I'm not minimizing anything you may go through, but I'm just telling you, however rough it is, if it'll help you get closer to God, if it'll help you be saved in the end, that's a good. That's good. Hallelujah. Amen. How many remembers that man that was marooned on that deserted island, had limited tools and resources, took him forever to build a hut for shelter from the sun. Amen. Finally got the hut built, lived in it for several months. No ships came by, very discouraged. One day he went out to hunt or gather food, and while he's gone, his campfire got out inside the hut, burned the hut down. He's running back towards his hut. Said that things were already bad enough. I'm alone. I have very little resources. And now the hut that I took so many years to build, it's a burning down. He sat down on the sand, his head between his knees, feeling awful sorry for himself, but he heard a noise. And here comes a rowboat, and out on the horizon is a ship. And they came to him and said, we'd never seen you. We would have passed you by, but we saw your signal fire. He said, I didn't set a signal fire. My hut was burning down. Oh, it looked bad, but God was working for the good. Hallelujah. And then there's the people who are promised. Notice to whom this promise is. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, Brother Keith, I've heard lots of people quote this. I've talked to rank sinners that were having trouble, but the trouble they were having was the consequences of their rebellion to God. And they had the audacity to look at me and say, I know I've got all this suffering in my life, but God's going to work it together for good. I'm telling you, the promise is not to those in rebellion against God. The promise is to those that love God. There are consequences to sin. The only good that can come out of the consequences of sin is if you'll allow it to turn your heart to God. Amen. This promise isn't for everybody. Listen, young people, I've heard young people tell me that living rebellious, in and out of church, and because of the lifestyle they adopt, things start falling apart in their lives. And they'll say, well, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good. Not for everybody. To them that love God. Listen to me across the building. I'm trying to help, as I'm not trying to hurt or bore you, I promise. But things will never be right in your life until you love God. Amen. You can work hard. You can plan big. You can do everything. As long as your heart's out there and with the world and all those things, you don't have this promise. But if you're here this morning and you love God, and it's a good sign you love Him just being in the house on Sunday morning. If you love God, then no matter how bad things get, this promise is for you. Do you love Him this morning? Let me see your hand. I want to tell you, He loves you too. He loves you too. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's not an automatic thing. It's the promise to those who love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knoweth him not, neither seeth him not. But you know him, because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. Oh, if you love him, the promise is unto you. Last of all, this morning, there's the plan that is purposed. He said, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We'll get to this another Sunday, but some people think God just selectively calls a few. I personally believe that God calls everyone, because his promise, his invitation is whosoever will. These that are truly called to his purpose, not only have they been called, but they have answered the call. That's who the promise is to. They've answered the call. But God doesn't call people to let them perish. God doesn't call folks to let them flounder. God doesn't call us to something bad. God calls us to his purpose. He's got a purpose. I'm telling you, that's why our world and society is floundering. They have no purpose. God has called us to a purpose. Anything bad that may happen, God works that thing. It will not only assist us, it will continue to assist us until we reach the place that we have been called to. We've been called. We've not been called to just live and die. We've not just been called to be a part of this world. We've been called to a high purpose. And everything, even if it's bad, God works it to facilitate our arriving at the purpose for which he called us. Well, glory. Your life has a purpose. Hallelujah. What is the purpose? Just briefly, I've mentioned it, but I believe God's purpose is the salvation of our souls. You believe that? I don't want to keep beating that horse, so to speak, but it may be bad, but if it'll cause you to get things right back with God, that's going to be good. Amen. It may not be, ought to be that way, but how many know you do tend to call on God more when bad things are happening in your life? Amen. The purpose is the salvation of our soul. The purpose is conforming us into the image of his Son. I don't have time to be on a soapbox, but I am so tired that people have converted church and their thinking to a place where they can go and feel blessed and feel good and then go back and live however they want to live their life. You know, churches to accommodate them and to accommodate their desires and to cater to. Listen, I'm telling you, this whole purpose of God, it's in the verses that follow. I won't preach them this morning. But the purpose of God is to conform us, transform us into the image of his Son. I may not like the thing, but if it helps me be more like Jesus, it's good. How many wants to be more like him? Oh, we could go on. The purpose is preparing us for heaven. If the musicians would begin to come, I think of my own life, and I won't bore you with many details, but I knew I'd been called to preach. But after I graduated from high school, I had begun to get cold in my life, got involved in a relationship, and I'll put the blame on me, but it would have been ruinous to any type of ministry. I was involved in that. I was working a full-time job, but I was going to school at night, going to college, going to be an engineer, and I had it all planned out. I got there, started school in August, and it came along about the last of September, first of October, don't remember which now. But I got terribly sick. I mean, hospital sick. I mean, I was sick. Couldn't eat, losing weight. I was sick. They were keeping me shot up with all that stuff that makes you feel good for a while, then plays tricks with your mind. But I couldn't swallow, couldn't eat, couldn't drink. Lots of pain. I was floating on those big fluffy clouds from the medication they pumped in my veins. And I'm not telling you, God spoke in an audible voice. But I knew He was talking to me. And He said, I thought I called you to preach. I thought I called you to ministry. And right then I made up my mind when I got out of that hospital, I was going to pursue the call of God on my life. I'd been sick several weeks. I couldn't even finish that semester of school. Lost all that work and everything. But come January, I was in Bible school. And I can honestly say, if I hadn't have got sick as I got, that I would not be in this pulpit this morning. Now, you may not think that's good, but it's good for me, and I'm grateful to God. But I'm just telling you, if I had not got so sick, I would not be standing here this morning. You may not be able to trace all the bad things of your life to an evident good, but whether you can or not, I want to tell you something. God is at work, working all things together for your good, if you love God. Do you love God? I've included for years, young people, in your birthday cards, because I want you to know it. I put there, God has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter your name. It doesn't matter your background. Amen. God has a plan for your life. I was preaching down at Mexico, and sometimes when you're preaching through a translator, you have more time to think. And I made that statement. I was preaching something. And then as an afterthought, I said, of course, the translator, he interpreted. I said, they're probably tired of that. Maybe I should just quit putting that in the birthday cards. And one of the teenage girls that went on our team down there in Mexico, the interpreter was still interpreting in Spanish. But I looked back, she had already heard what I said. And she's shaking her head and said, no. She was mouthing, no, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. We need to know. We need to know that God has a purpose and He has a plan. Oh, and we do know. I said, we do know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Don't you feel better this morning? I don't know what you're going through, but I know God's got a plan for your life, and He's at work. I said, He's at work. Amen. As the servers come, if you're thankful God is at work, would you lift your hand and say, thank you, God, you're at work in my life. It may be rough right now, but God is at work. It may be tough right now, but God is at work in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let's praise Him. Come on, He's a great, mighty God. He's in control this morning. He's in control. He's at work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to be serving communion this morning. And you may be new to us and not be accustomed to our practice. But we ask everyone that has professed faith in Christ, things are right in your heart, please partake of communion with us. We just ask that everyone wait till everyone's been served and we will partake together at one time. And now as we're serving, it's a great time to visit with the Lord. Amen. Ask the Lord to minister to your soul. Let's seek the Lord as we serve.